God is alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intent of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study, show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We continue this evening in 1 Thessalonians 5 here, where we're in the analysis of verse 3. All right, as is our custom, we'll give you opportunity to make sure that you're in fellowship, you're led by God the Holy Spirit, and otherwise can effectively test the spirits of that which is communicated this evening, and therefore advance yourself and understand what God's plan is clearly and distorted by the sin nature. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten the truth and the matters at hand. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, continuing on here in this section of chapter 5, as evidence of the spiritual blindness that characterizes the final generation of the church, as well as those going into the tribulational period, being caught unaware in regards to the Lord's coming that will be like a thief in the night, in verse 2. We have the human viewpoint element that the daily masses adopt in regards to his propaganda campaign, politically and otherwise, with respect to the diversion other truth, and that is essentially everything is all right, we can make it all right, and we must pursue it. And it is this that then ushers in that which will be their undoing in destruction. And that is verse 3, while they are saying peace and safety. That is the message. They are the negative people that promote these things and otherwise attach and adhere themselves to this message. And then destruction will come upon them suddenly like birth pangs upon a woman with child. And they will not escape. And this political movement, as we are dealing with here in our notes, finds its foundation, its impetus, being spread ideologically, politically, militarily in the very country of which we reside in, the United States. And as we know, this is personified, their involvement of laying a disarmament type of mentality upon the world internationally, as Antichrist will ride on this very political ideology in regards to his own campaign, as we saw in the rider of the white horse in Revelation 6:2, where there is a bow but no arrows, denoting the mentality of getting rid of your defensive weapons and seeking to establish peace otherwise. And this has been promoted through certain peace pundits that are emulating, if you will, false prophets, just like we see in the Old Testament of false prophets in regards to Israel, their imminent destruction and overthrow, especially in the southern kingdom, in regards to Judah. And as we read those passages, in spite of the sound doctrine that is being taught and proclaimed by Jeremiah, etc., yet those who took issue with it and sought to wrap the crowds up, which are negative, and hence their own judgment comes upon them for rejecting the truth themselves, into this ideology truly there is nothing going to happen bad. and that things will continue to go on as they have in the past. We have nothing to fear. God is for us. But, you know, we're His chosen people. We're the Christian nation. Let's see. That whole idea. He's favorably inclined towards us. And therefore, we can essentially do as we please. And there will not be any true harsh repercussions such as what Jeremiah is telling us. And as we know, these people were idiots, and the idiots that followed them all fell under the condemnation of God in wrath in that respect. And like Israel, we learn from history ourselves as a country that we've learned nothing from history. Whether it's certain things such as political ideology of an international peace that will never come about apart from the person of Jesus Christ because of the STA man, or other certain ideologies that are being promoted that we don't learn from history because people reject the truth, such as homosexuality and the permanent effect that's been left for a reminder in regards to God's attitude towards that vice in the Dead Sea and the valley of which Sodom and Gomorrah existed. So, nothing new under the sun. Negativism rejects the truth. When they reject the truth, they must have an alternative. They must have an alternate viewpoint and something else that will distract them. And Satan, utilizing his mouthpieces in this regard, finds the very types of things and ideology that they will be drawn to. And obviously, just as we see negative volition in Israel in that regards, we see the same mentality that exists today, in spite of the fact that the Word of God tells us specifically, you want to be one of those that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Which, you suppress the truth in unrighteousness anytime you take issue with it in practice. Anytime that you distort the truth, you're suppressing it. That is unrighteous. It doesn't have to be some big, huge government come down in regards to religion to suppress the truth. But those who do suppress it in unrighteousness, who want to keep it at bay, that they are faced with the reality of God's wrath being revealed against them and coming against them in that regards, Romans 1:18. So just pick up point 20 here, getting back here to these verses. Some of these are kind of awkward, having to stop in the middle of them. But here we are. 20, the common viewpoint among the masses, as we see even today, is that God is not really as the Bible declares Him. He is not opposed to anyone. He would never do anyone any harm. And He certainly agrees with our efforts to clean up the planet and society by our own devices. The Green Movement is all part of the peace movement. It's all put in and packaged in this way. And how can a loving God, if a God really does exist, is the attitude, ever do anything like what these Christians proclaim He's going to do? If He's really a God that loves, misunderstanding and a total blindness regards to that which upholds God first and foremost, including His love, and that's His righteous character. His presence and manifestation of all that is right versus that which is wrong. Morally, ethically, otherwise. And this goes by then. And all the arguments, all the naysayers, the things they will throw out at you in regards to rejection of God's plan in this regard, that viewpoint is becoming even more dominant, and you even find it finding an aspect of it within Christian circles. Christians are not immune to adopting ideologies like this. Just as many of them have caved over the past couple of decades in regards to the evolutionary lie that's been spread about and trying to now compromise and integrate it into creation rather than continue to stand for the truth. And you got these idiots that are up there getting the ear of our highest politicians and telling them that Christianity is a danger to society and science. And don't think they're not there. It's on the internet. These people aren't shy. And the media loves crap like that. So, you have it. But obviously, those who are positive recognize the truth. It's not anything that we get wrapped around the axle over in regards to our own Christian lives. But the test remains whether or not when we are put to the test, are you going to stand for the truth or are you going to compromise and fall for the human viewpoint ideology that is otherwise being propagandized over our society as well as the world. And peace and safety, this peace and security ideology, is part of it. So 21, various catastrophes, earthquakes, famines, epidemics, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, storms, etc., as we see, are not the judgments of God, but are merely Mother Nature acting up, or Mother Earth trying to warn us. The Arctic's melting. But one thing they won't tell you is that the Antarctic is gaining more and more ice on the opposite end. You don't see that in the news because it ruins their agenda. Never in the history of mankind has a push for peace been as strong as it's been over the last century. And it continues its momentum to build in momentum. Obama's the one they got in, tried to help break down the barrier of religious beliefs even more. Let's see. And he's been, that's his highlight of a presidency that I see. That's his agenda. Those behind him. 23, the peace campaign in our nation has been active at all levels of government since as early as establishment of the United Nations, in 1945. As it was first attempted in 1919 by the League of Nations. That was not successful. 24, in 1961, President John F. Kennedy presented his plan for national disarmament called Freedom from War, the United States program for general and complete disarmament in a peaceful world. A three-stage program for the gradual transfer of U.S. arms to the U.N. and hence the assimilation of our troops in regards to the agenda of the UN in world conflicts. 25, in addition to these sorts of activities, our nation is continually engaged in negotiation, trade, treaties, etc., with those that are our avowed enemies, under the foolish notion that they will change the nature of those nations. Food and money for peace. Governments let their people take American flag. They can burn it all they want. Yeah. What do we do? Oh, here, well, let us give you some more money. Let us give you some more food. And maybe this will calm your masses down. Of course, the attitude in regards to that in our own nation is sad. It's pathetic anyway. 26, now the peace propaganda in our time will continue to escalate to its zenith. In the early part of Daniel's 70th week, right up to the point of his first major catastrophe, probably third year, first month into the trib, the destruction of the U.S. by Russia and its allies, and major Old Testament passages that prophesy in regards to political Babylon, prophetic Babylon, has a dual prophecy that are involved in that regards, as we read, is Isaiah 13, chapter 21, chapter 47, two other major passages. And this is where we left off, looking at our demise in Jeremiah 50 and 51. Generally, the better known chapters among those who recognize USA in prophecy. And again, Babylon is code for future Babylon. And that is the United States. Reading here just says, way of review and reminder. The word which the Lord spoke concerning Babylon, the land of the Chaldeans, through Jeremiah the prophet. Proclaim among the nations. Proclaim it and lift up a standard. Do not conceal it to say, Babylon has been captured. She will not ultimately get her way. Babel has been put to shame. Marduk has been shattered. Her image has been put to shame. Her idols have been shattered. For a nation has come up against her. Prophetic Babylon, that's the U.S. Out of the north, that's Russia and her allies. It will make her land an object of horror. There will be no inhabitant in it. Both man and beast have wandered off. They have gone away. And eventually, it will be repopulated over time by beasts, certain types of animals. But after the initial nuclear holocaust, it basically makes this place unlivable for man or beast. Those days and at that time, declares the Lord, the sons of Israel will come, and both they and the sons of Judah as well. They will go along weeping as they go, and it will be the Lord their God they will seek. While it's a huge catastrophe for the world, it's a wake-up call in regards to those in Israel. And the positive remnant who have leaned on us, rather than truly leaning on their God over time for their self-sufficiency, etc., will all of a sudden be forced to look elsewhere. It's amazing how God can take bad things and make it work for the best for those who are positive. They will ask for the way to Zion, turning their faces in this direction. It will come that they may join themselves to the Lord in an everlasting covenant that will not be forgotten. And the Jews, over the centuries, have been dispersed throughout the countries. Many of them have returned as they are in the land. But there are still many that are out. Millions. And many of them here. In our country. My people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray through false teaching. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. The mountains there is representative of nations. They have gone along from mountain to hill, and all have forgotten their resting place. All have come upon them and have devoured them, such as Hitler and other nationalities and leaders over time. And their adversaries have said, we are not guilty, inasmuch as they have sinned against the Lord, who is the habitation of righteousness. The anti-Semitic approach. Now, they killed the Messiah. They deserve this. Hey, idiot. Who are you to bring it out? You need to read some other scriptures. If you want to curse him, then curse comes on you. God's hands. Even the Lord, the hope of their fathers. Verse 8, wander away from the midst of Babylon. Come out from her, as Revelation 18 would say. From her midst. Go forth from the land of the Chaldeans. Be also like male goats at the head of the flock. Lead the way. For behold, I'm going to rouse and bring up against Babylon a horde of great nations from the land of the north. That actually occurred in 586 B.C. So you have dual prophecy that occurs through here. And they will draw out their battle lines against her. From there she will be taken captive. Their arrows will be like an expert warrior who does not return empty-handed. In the last days, that looks at missiles. A prophet looks and sees a vision of a missile, and he has no term to attach to it. It looks to him like an arrow. So you're flying through the air. And Chaldea will become plundered. All who plunder her will have enough, declares the Lord. Because you are glad, because you are jubilant, O you who pillage my heritage. Because you skip about like threshing heifer and neigh like stallions. Your mother, England, will be greatly ashamed. She who gave you birth will be humiliated. The lion eventually stands up and is given a heart, possesses a heart during this period. She gets her act back together, more or less, during this period. Behold, literally it, Babylon will be the least of the nations, a wilderness, a parched land, and a desert. Because of the indignation of the Lord, she will not be inhabited, but she will be completely desolate. No one will be allowed to populate this continent again during the history of this existing planet. Everyone who passes by Babylon will be horrified and will hiss because of all her wounds. Ooh, hiss, hiss, hiss. That's the picture. What you've done in regards to the world, bringing God's wrath on our head like this. See, that's the idea. Draw up your battle lines, verse 14, against Babylon on every side. All you, bend the bow. Shoot at her, do not be sparing with your arrows. And she has sinned against the Lord. It's not going to be just a couple of nuclear missiles that kind of rains down on us. It's going to be a bunch. Russia essentially probably unloaded about everything she's got. And she's got a lot. Raise your battle cry against her on every side. She has given herself up. Her pillars have fallen. Her walls have been torn down. Her defensive, economic, political foundation gone. For this is the vengeance of the Lord. Take vengeance on her. And as she has done to others, so do to her. Cut off the sore from Babylon. And the one who wields the sickle at the time of harvest from before the sword of the oppressor, they will each turn back to his own people. And they will each flee to his own land. Israel is a scattered flock. The lions have driven them away. The first one who devoured him was the king of Assyria. And the last one who has broken his bones is Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And back to near prophecy. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I'm going to punish the king of Babylon and his land, just as I punished the king of Assyria. And because they came in and overran Israel, didn't make them right. They were simply a tool that God used. But they're guilty of their own sins. And their sin is actually having the audacity to let God use them as a tool like that. Think about it. Now we'll bring Israel back to his pasture. Verse 19, he'll gaze on Carmel and Bashan, and his desire will be satisfied in the hill country of Ephraim and Gilead. Those days, and at that time, declare the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none, and for the sins of Judah, but they will not be found, for I shall pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. Against the land of Marathaim, go up against it, against the inhabitants of Pekod, slay and utterly destroy them. Declare to the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded you. The noise of the battle is in the land, and great destruction, how the hammer of the whole earth has been cut off and broken, how Babylon has become an object of horror among the nations. And trust me, we are more and more ideologically and politically trying to distance ourselves from Israel. All you got to do is listen. Listen to the words that are being said by certain people. Verse 24, I set a snare for you, and you were also caught, O Babylon, while you yourself was not aware. You have been found and also seized because you have been engaged in conflict with the Lord. The Lord has opened his armory and has brought forth the weapons of his indignation, his wrath, his anger. For it is the work of the Lord God of hosts in the land of the Chaldeans. Come to her from the farthest border. Open up her barns, pile her up like heaps, and utterly destroy her. Let nothing be left to her. Put all of her young bulls to the sword. Let them go down to the slaughter. All the virile male leaders and things of that nature, as bulls are often used to in a metaphorical sense in regards to people. Woe be upon them, for their day has come, the time of their punishment. Hear the sound of fugitives and refugees from the land of Babylon. Declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, vengeance for his temple. Summon many against Babylon. Other texts have archers, literally, there. All those who bend the bow, encamp against her on every side. Let there be no escape. Repay her according to her work. According to all she has done, so do to her. For she has become arrogant against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, young men will fall in their streets, and all men of war will be silenced in that day, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O arrogant one, declares the Lord God of armies. For your day has come, the time when I shall punish you, and arrogant one will stumble and fall, with no one to raise him up. And I shall set fire to his cities, and it will devour all his environs. Live out in the country all you want. You can try to fix up one of your missile silos for your protection. It's not going to help. See. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the sons of Israel are oppressed. The sons of Judah as well. And all that took them captive have held them fast. They have refused to let them go. The Redeemer is strong, the Lord of hosts, armies in his name. He will vigorously plead their case so that he may bring rest to the earth, but turmoil to the inhabitants of Babylon. A sword against the Chaldeans, declares the Lord, and against the inhabitants of Babylon, against her officials and her wise men. A sword against the oracle priests, and they will become fools. A sword against her mighty men, and they will be shattered. A sword against her horses and against her chariots, against all the foreigners who are in the midst of her. And they will become women. A sword against, oh, they're bragging how powerful and tough they are. They'd be crying like little girls. A sword against her treasures, and they will be plundered. A drought on her waters, and they will be dried up. For it is a land of idols. Every unclean bird, as Revelation says. And they are mad over fearsome idols. Therefore the desert creatures will live there along with the jackals. The ostriches also will live in it. And it will never again be inhabited or dwelled in from generation to generation. It's a sparse habitat of certain animal types. That regards, or dwelled in from generation to generation. Verse 40, as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah with his neighbors, declares the Lord. That's interesting, with his neighbors. Sodom and Gomorrah was not the only two cities that felt the wrath of God on that occasion. So, our nearby neighbors, what might become of them? No man will live there, nor will any son of man reside in it. Behold, a people is coming from the north, and a great nation, and many kings will be aroused from the remote parts of the earth. They seize their bow and javelin. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea. They ride on horses, marshaled like a man for the battle. Against you, O God of Babylon. The king of Babylon has heard the report about them. His hands hang limp. Distress has gripped him. Agony like a woman in childbirth. Behold, one will come up like a lion from the thicket of the Jordan to a perennially watered pasture. For in an instant I shall make him run away from it. Whoever is chosen, I shall point over it. For who is like me and who will summon me into court? The lion there is Jesus Christ. And who then is the shepherd who can stand before me? Therefore hear the plan of the Lord, which he has planned against Babylon, and his purposes, which he has purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely they will drag them off, even the little ones of the flock. Surely he will make their pastures desolate because of them. At the shout, Babylon has been seized, the earth is shaken, and an outcry is heard among the nations. Verse 51, chapter 51, thus says the Lord, behold, I am going to rouse against Babylon and against the inhabitants of Lebkamai, which is the same as Chaldea, the spirit of a destroyer. And I shall dispatch foreigners to Babylon that they may win over her and may devastate her land. For on every side they will be opposed to her in the day of her calamity. Let not him who bends his bow bend, nor let him rise up in his scale armor. So do not spare her young men. Devote all her army to destruction. They will fall down slain in the land of the Chaldeans and pierce through their streets. So all their destruction basically happens right on their home. See, they're not out in battle. They get wiped out here. If you're in the military at that time, you'd be glad you're overseas. For neither Israel nor Judah has been forsaken by his God, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, although their land is full of guilt before the Holy One of Israel. Flee from the midst of Babylon, and each of you save his life. Do not be destroyed in her punishment. For this is the Lord's time of vengeance. He is going to render recompense to her. Babylon has been a golden cup in the hand of the Lord, intoxicating all the earth through her New World Order agenda. The nations have drunk her wine. All the distractions designed to appeal to the SCA that comes from this country. And even now, over the last couple of decades, you can see how this, the Western attitude has had effect in other foreign countries that otherwise, beforehand, really stayed aloof from these things. Like rock and roll bands in Russia, the Japanese and their emulation of things. See, this was not part of their culture a couple of decades ago. They still kept it at bay. It might be some underground. But not anything like what you see today. We're having our effect across the world, culturally and otherwise. The nations have drunk of her wine, verse 7, therefore the nations are going mad. Suddenly Babylon has fallen and been broken. Wail over her, bring balm for her pain, perhaps she may be healed. We applied healing to Babylon, but she was not healed. Those who might offer some common sense regards our country just basically pushed aside, politically and otherwise. Forsake her, let each go to his own country, for her judgment has reached to heaven and towers up to the very skies. The Lord has brought about our vindication. Come and let us recount in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Sharpen the arrows, fill the quivers. The Lord has aroused the spirit of the kings of the Medes. Cause his purpose is against Babylon to destroy it. For it is vengeance of the Lord, vengeance for his temple. Lift up a signal against the walls of Babylon. Post a strong guard, station sentries, place men in ambush. The Lord has both purposed and performed. While he spoke concerning the inhabitants of Babylon, O you who dwell by many waters. That has to be prophetic future. Because historical Babylon resides simply in the middle of a continent. We are surrounded by many waters. Good three sides of us. Verse 13, O you dwell by many waters, abundant in treasures. Your end has come, the measure of your end. The Lord of hosts has sworn by himself. Surely I will fill you with a population like locusts. They will cry out with shouts of victory over you. It will be a constant reminder. He who made the earth by his power, verse 15, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding he stretched out the heavens. When he utters his voice, a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes there is a tumult of waters in the heavens, and he causes the clouds to ascend from the end of the earth. He makes lightning for the rain. He brings forth the wind for his storehouses. All mankind is stupid, devoid of knowledge. Every goldsmith is put to shame by his idols. For his molten images are deceitful, and there is no breath in them. They are worthless, a work of mockery. In the time of their punishment, they will perish. The portion of Jacob is not like these, for the maker of all is he, as Jesus Christ, as the true God. And of the tribe of his inheritance, the Lord of armies is his name. He says, you are my war club, my weapon of war, and with you I shatter nations, and with you I destroy kingdoms. And with you I shatter the horse and his rider, and with you I shatter the chariot and his rider. With you I shatter man and woman, and with you I shatter old man and youth. And with you I shatter young man and virgin, and with you I shatter the shepherd and his flock, and with you I shatter the farmer and his team, and with you I shatter governors and prefects. But I will pay Babylon and all the inhabitants of Chaldea for all their evil they have done in Zion before your eyes, declares the Lord. Behold, I am against you, O destroying mountain, who destroy the whole earth, declares the Lord, and I will stretch out my hand against you and roll you down from the crags. I will make you a burnt-out mountain. They will not take from you even a stone for a corner, nor a stone for foundations. You don't want to touch that stuff. It's going to be radioactive for a long time. But you will be desolate forever, declares the Lord. Lift up a signal in the land, blow a trumpet among the nations, consecrate the nations against her. Summon against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a marshal against her. Bring up the horses like bristly locusts. Consecrate the nations against her, the kings and the Medes, their governors and all their prefects, and every land of their dominion, till the land quakes and rises. The posture of internationalism at this point in time in history, while we see it already today, really becomes extremely antagonistic. Almost across the board is the picture that's being presented. And we think we got countries that hate us now. Just hang on for all of our meddling. And Big Brother approach regards to things. So the land quakes and rises, verse 29, for the purpose of the Lord against Babylon stand, to make the land of Babylon a desolation without inhabitants. The mighty men of Babylon have ceased fighting. They stay in the strongholds. Their strength is exhausted. They are becoming like women. Their dwelling places are set on fire. The bars of her gates are broken. Defense system has been destroyed. One courier runs to meet another, one messenger to meet another, to tell the king of Babylon that his city has been captured from end to end. As he's flying around in his jet, probably, or wherever he's hit out at. You don't have much country to go back to. The fords also have been seized. They have burned the marshes with fire, and the men of war are terrified. For thus says the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, the daughter of Babylon is like a threshing floor. At the time it is stamped firm, yet in a little while the time of harvest will come for her. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has devoured me and crushed me. He has set me down like an empty vessel. He has swallowed me like a monster. Now we know Nebuchadnezzar became a believer. That's brought out in Daniel. He has swallowed me like a monster. He has filled his stomach with my delicacies. He has washed me away. May the violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon. The inhabitants of Zion will say, and may my blood be upon the inhabitants of Chaldea. Jerusalem will say, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm going to plead your case and exact full vengeance for you. And I shall dry up her sea and make her fountain dry in regards to export, domestic commerce, things of that nature, economic aspects. Babylon will become a heap of ruins, a haunt of jackals, an object of horror and hissing without inhabitants. They will roar together like young lions. They will growl like lions' cubs. When they have become heated up, I shall serve them their banquet, make them drunk that they may become jubilant, and may sleep a perpetual sleep, and not wake up, declares the Lord. I shall bring them down like lambs to the slaughter, like lambs together with male goats, as they fall for all the propaganda and human viewpoint that dominates the world in rejection of the truth being taught otherwise. How Shishak has been captured, another name for Babylon. The praise of the whole earth have been seized. How Babylon has become an object of war among the nations. The sea has come up over Babylon. She has been engulfed with tumultuous waves. Her cities have become an object of war. Parched land in the desert, a land in which no man lives, and through which no son of man passes. I shall punish Baal in Babylon. I shall make what he has swallowed come out of his mouth. The nations will no longer stream to him. Even the wall of Babylon has fallen down. Come forth from our midst, my people, and each of you save yourselves from the fierce anger of the Lord. Now, unless your heart grow faint, and you will be afraid of the report that will be heard in the land, for the report will come 1 year. And after that, another report in another year. And violence will be in the land with ruler against ruler. Their year he conquers. See, that's the idea. Therefore, behold, days are coming when I shall punish the idols of Babylon, and her whole land will be put to shame, and all her slain will fall in her midst. And heaven and earth and all that is in them will shout for joy over Babylon, for destroyers will come to her from the north, declares the Lord. Obviously, when all Christians are removed, what is left in this country, other than idolatry? Indeed, Babylon is to fall for the slain of Israel, as also for Babylon the slain of all the earth have fallen. But we're held guilty. We're held culpable. You have escaped the sword. Depart, do not stay. Remember the Lord from afar. Let Jerusalem come to your mind. We are ashamed because we have heard the reproach. Disgrace has covered our faces. For aliens have entered the holy place of the Lord's house. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I shall punish your idols, and the mortal women will have grown throughout her land. Though Babylon should ascend to the heavens, though she should fortify her lofty stronghold in regards to our Star Wars defense. For me, destroyers will come to her, declares the Lord, in spite of all that. So, sound of an outcry from Babylon and the great destruction from the land of the Chaldeans. For the Lord is going to destroy Babylon. He will make her loud noise vanish from her. Their waves will roar like many waters. The tumult of their voices sounds forth. For destroyers coming against her, against Babylon. And her mighty men will be captured. Their bows are shattered. For the Lord is a God of recompense. He will fully repay. And I shall make her princes and her wise men drunk, her governors, her prefects, and her mighty men, that they may sleep a perpetual sleep and not wake up. He's going to kill them. In other words, how could a loving God do this? Declares the God, declares the King, whose name is the Lord of Armies. Thus says the Lord of Hosts: the broad wall of Babylon will be completely razed, and her high gates will be set on fire, so the people will toil for nothing, and the nation will become exhausted only for fire. The message which Jeremiah the prophet commanded Sariah the son of Neriah, the son of Messiah, when he went with Zedekiah the king of Judah to Babylon in the fourth year of his reign. Now Sariah was quartermaster. So Jeremiah wrote in a single scroll all the calamity which would come upon Babylon, the text from which we have these words, this book. All these words which had been written concerning Babylon. Jeremiah said to Sarai, as soon as you come to Babylon, then see that you read all these words aloud. And say, you, O Lord, have promised concerning this place to cut it off so that there will be nothing dwelling in it, whether man or beast, but it will be a perpetual desolation. And this has been true of historical Babylon over the centuries too. Saddam tried to restore it. This is still nothing but a desert with a few buildings. Now, come about as soon as you finish reading the scroll, you will tie a stone to it and throw it to the middle of the Euphrates. And say, just so shall Babylon sink down and not rise again, because of the calamity that I'm going to bring upon her, and they will become exhausted. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. All right, we read Revelation 18, previous class, as reviewed. All right, moving on here with the text now. Our word for destruction here. As they're, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction. Our word for destruction, which is phalethros, does not refer to complete annihilation, but the ruin of all that gives worth to existence, whether in time or eternity. Any reason to live really is removed. Whether you're looking at this word in time or eternity, but obviously existence still remains in some form or fashion. 1 Corinthians 5:5. In regard to incestuous Corinthians, Paul's attitude, decision regarding him, I've decided to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh. that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. A deterioration necessary to wake him up, if you will. And then, as it's used with respect to eternity, 2 Thessalonians 1:9. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction. They're under the form of destruction, but they're going to experience it eternally. So there's not a complete annihilation. They would be better off if it was, quite honestly. Away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. So 28, at that point, all talk of peace and security will suddenly be curtailed as nations scramble for survival when Babylon is destroyed in 1 hour of one day. Again, Revelation 18:9 following brings out that aspect of the scenario. Peace is part of the peace and safety propaganda campaign. It has a pseudo placement in the first part of the trib, as we saw that it was quiet for approximately a half an hour in Revelation. So that's that peace and security impact in a pseudo way. And that's when it's really going to usher in the big bang theory. 29, from that point forward, the trib takes on a new complexion. The obvious judgment of God begins full force. After that, you have the mixed judgment of the hell-raising demons that come out, swarms of locusts, and torture man for 6 months. And the aspect of establishing the Antichrist, establishing his image in the temple, and the remainder of judgments that comes upon man, as we saw. So 30, while the figure of the thief, now, in the previous verse, verse 2, the figure of the thief portrays the unexpected character of the event. The figure of the pregnant woman, in our verse, now conveys the inevitable reality of the event. Obviously, also, its intensity. That is, it's inevitable. Uh, 31, no one in their right mind would look at a woman that is 8 months pregnant and state she will not experience labor pains. Looking kind of big, you're going to hurt for a little bit. And you're going to have a baby. That's the idea. 32, an additional sense here is that the woman who is pregnant does not know the precise time she will give birth, but she is always aware that she will give birth. So, obviously, you can know in general what's going to occur if you want to be in tune. So, 33, now the approaching intense state of pregnancy, underlining that aspect of the pregnancy motif. And the labor pains, the approaching intense state of pregnancy and the labor pains that were prophesied by Jesus indicate that a far greater state of misery is coming. Part of prophecy taught by Christ himself in the Matthew 24 passage. Matthew 24, 7, verses 7 and 8. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginnings of birth pains, of labor. 34, in spite of the clear teaching of Scripture and all the signs, negative volition continues to ignore or reject the truth of the Lord's return. They would rather adopt the alternative human viewpoint, just like we see here. 35, the complete inability of men to escape, which is our Greek term, a compound term, ekphupo, or avoid the events of the day of the Lord, is expressed in an emphatic double negative in the Greek, oume. No way are they going to get out of this. Absolutely no way. 36, the ones that will absolutely not escape here are the day of verse 3a, the one saying peace and safety that is part of this negative crowd that rejects the truth otherwise, as opposed to those in the upcoming verses, to not be confused with these people. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten us to see some in Jesus' name.